From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. Republican and Democratic lawmakers are forging ahead with a plan to reauthorize the 1965 Voting Rights Act. Yesterday, lawmakers introduced legislation to renew the landmark law for another 25 years. Certain parts of the act are due to expire in 2007. Advocates say provisions must be kept intact by Congress and President Bush to protect the rights of minorities. We'll hear from Democratic Congressman John Lewis in a moment. But joining me now is Republican Congressman Steve Chabot of Ohio. He chairs the House Subcommittee on the Constitution. Congressman, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Happy to be with you.
Let me ask you something. You've been spearheading a bipartisan move to reenact the Voting Rights Act of 1965, yet I'm sure you're more aware than I that there are factions in the Republican Party that don't necessarily see this as important. Why did you believe it so important?
Well, voting is one of the most fundamental and essential rights that we as citizens have. And when the Voting Rights Act was passed back in 1965, it was passed to remedy a situation which was just unconscionable, that many citizens in this country were prevented from voting based upon the color of their skin. And this country had the good sense to change that. Now, there were sections of the Voting Rights Act which were permanent, such as eliminating poll taxes, eliminating intimidation and coercion at the polling places. But some things in the Voting Rights Act were temporary, and we have to reauthorize them every 25 years or they go out of existence. And this is one of those instances where we've seen Republicans and Democrats coming together and working in a bipartisan fashion to pass something which I think is in the best interest of the country.
Is there not a way legislatively to make these provisions permanent?
Not really. The reason is that because constitutionally voting in this country is primarily the responsibility of the states. And for the federal government to get involved in this at all, it had to be established that there was discrimination going on, which was established. The Voting Rights Act was then passed, but we have to periodically determine that there are still instances of people not being permitted to vote or some discriminatory actions which are taking place at the polling places to give the federal government the authorization under the Constitution to actually get involved in this. And that's what this hearing process that we've had is all about as well.
There are still concerns, as you well know, that there are certain safeguards, if you will, that are necessary, even with this provision, these provisions being put back in and the Voting Rights Act being extended, that people are concerned about state to state to state. How can the federal government make sure that certain provisions are provided for minorities and others who want to make sure that their vote is counted?
Well, we, for example, can still under this, and this was one of the temporary provisions, have what are called federal observers go in if there are instances in certain areas where there are allegations, substantial allegations of voting discrimination. The one thing I might note is that it's not the entire country that is covered by these, the Voting Rights Act. It's only parts or all of 16 states, mostly through the old Confederacy. And for the federal government to be involved, it had to be established that there was discrimination going on. And in those states, there was, and unfortunately, in some instances, still continues to be.
Congressman, what do you say to those who don't necessarily see it as important? How do you sway them?
Well, I think what we've done, first of all, is to establish a record. We've had 40 different witnesses from all around the country on this issue, and there have been a lot of members of Congress, even if they haven't been able to attend the committee meetings or may not be on the committees, that have followed this. And we've made an effort to make sure that we got around the transcripts, the evidence, the testimony, and talked to our colleagues to make sure that both Republicans and Democrats are fully informed about this. And I expect the vote in Congress to be overwhelmingly bipartisan.
Before you got into this and started to delve into it, once you did, were you at all surprised to see the kind of racial gerrymandering that still goes on in this country?
There clearly is still gerrymandering, and some of it does have racial implications. And there was a Supreme Court case, which we've dealt with in this reauthorization, which we think will make some headway in that area. It basically indicates that you cannot have the intent to discriminate when you're dealing with changing the laws in one particular state, and that would include for the purposes of redistricting or drawing state legislature lines or for members of Congress. So we were very careful about that, and we think we've crafted it in a way that it will withstand a constitutional challenge, especially if it ends up in the U.S. Supreme Court.
What of the idea of the preclearance provision that many civil rights leaders feel has to be in to make this workable, if you will?
Well, there are a number of preclearance issues. You mentioned one, obviously, with gerrymandering or redrawing the lines. Things as simple as even in some states changing the areas of location or voting booths, for example. In those states that are covered under the existing law, under the Voting Rights Act, they have to get the authorization of the federal government, and that would either be at the Justice Department or the federal court in Washington, D.C. Every person absolutely must have the right to exercise their ability to vote.
Let me ask you, as relates to what we've been seeing in the news of late, and that, of course, is the immigration protest and the fight there. Now, so many people have tried to connect that with the civil rights era and looking at legislation like the Voting Rights Act of 1965. Do you believe that that is a fair comparison?
Well, there is a specific section 203 in the Voting Rights Act, which does have some relevance to that, and that's the area that requires bilingual election assistance. In certain areas that have a pretty significant Hispanic population or Native American or Native Alaskan or Asian American, you have to actually provide voting materials and ballots in their language. That has been somewhat controversial. There are some that disagree with continuing to make that necessary. And I would say that I think it is very important that we make every effort to have people learn English. And so I think we'd be doing a disservice if we allowed this to go on forever or if we don't continue to take a very close look at this. But we do have people here that are citizens that came here legally who still have language difficulties, and to the extent that we want to reach out and make sure that they have every ability to vote just as every other citizen does, then we ought to make sure that that occurs, and that is part of this particular reauthorization.
All right, Congressman, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Now joining us, Democratic Congressman John Lewis of Georgia. He was a young civil rights activist when President Lyndon Johnson signed the Voting Rights Act into law on August 6, 1965. Congressman, welcome.
Thank you very much. Very happy and very pleased to be with you, Ed.
Congressman, let me ask you this. Obviously, on a personal side, this is legislation that's very near and dear to you. We just talked to your colleague, Congressman Shabbat, about the importance of it legislatively. But talk to me about why people should see this personally as important.
Well, this is a very important piece of legislation. Just a few short years ago, it was almost impossible for people of color to be able to register, to vote, to be able to participate in the democratic process. My own parents, my own grandparents, my own teachers could not register to vote. Some of these people had their graduate degrees from some of the leading colleges and universities in America. There was black doctors and black lawyers flunking the so-called literacy test. They were told they could not read or write well enough. People were asked to get a number of bubbles in a bar of soap to count the number of jelly beans in a jar. Hundreds and thousands of blacks all across the American South stood in what I call unmovable lines, day in and day out, trying to become registered. People were beaten, sometimes jailed, and even killed for simply attempting to register to vote or to encourage other people to register. I will never forget just a few short years ago, when I was head of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, and we were trying to get people registered, three young men that I knew and knew very well, Andy Goodman, Mika Scherner from New York, two whites, James Shaney, African-American from Mississippi, went out to investigate a black church that were going to be used for voter registration workshop. The church was burning, and they went out to check on it, and they were detained by the sheriff, arrested, taken to jail. Later that same night, they were taken from jail, turned over to the Klan, beaten, shot, and killed.
Let me ask you this finally, Congressman, and I think this is the important part to make sure that people understand. There will be those who will say, oh, but we'll never return to that. That could never happen again. That's why if this goes through, fine. If it doesn't, fine. Tell them why this has to go through.
The Voting Rights Act must be renewed. It must be passed by the Congress and not be allowed to expire next year. There is always the possibility in some of these states, the 11 states of the old Confederacy, and some of the states outside of the South, of people slipping back, redistricting, redrawing their lines to make it almost impossible for minority, not just African-American, but for Hispanic and other non-English-speaking population to be denied equal access to the ballot. It's not just being able to register and being able to vote, but also to have an opportunity to elect people that look like you.
You have a bipartisan attempt at making this happen. You feel comfortable that this will go through?
Oh, I feel very, very good that we have a strong bipartisan group. It's the leadership of the House and the leadership of the Senate. People coming together saying that we're going to do it, and we're going to do it this year.
All right. Democratic Congressman John Lewis of Georgia, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.